making our triumphant return here on a Monday. It's beautiful. The sun is shining in downtown San Francisco. As I say good morning to all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, and now getting ready for school again. If you're a teacher, if you're a student, shout out to all of you. And I'm sorry if you had to do your summer reading this summer. But if you like reading, that's great. Have fun doing that. As I say good morning to you, Joseph Shasky, Carter, Steven Rizzotto filling in back there for the great Sam Lubman, who is off on assignment today. He'll be back tomorrow. We've been talking Niners. We've been talking Giants. We talked a little Warriors. The Kuminga crisis. That's all the latest from Shams right here. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm just going to say, oh, the latest on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nothing set in stone. Great. Awesome. Again, the summer that was supposed to be amazing and fun has just been an all-time dud. Something happened over the weekend, right? Luka Doncic signed his extension with the Lakers, 3 years, $100+ million, something like that. Awesome. They went to go see the Backstreet Boys, I think. That's what they did out in Vegas.
Luka on the cover of Men's Health. I'm in shape now. Great.
Who do you think reached out to who for that one? Was it Men's Health reaching out to Luka or Luka's team reaching out to Men's Health?
I didn't even know we were doing magazines anymore.
Apparently. Hey, you not a magazine guy? No?
Well, I think society is not a magazine society.
Were you a big Sports Illustrated guy when you were younger?
Yeah, growing up, yeah.
Growing up, did you subscribe?
Yeah, we got it every 2 weeks, and you wanted it. Yeah, it was great. But we're not in the... Who has magazines?
That's a good point. I've been waiting...
Besides your barber.
No, waiting rooms do. Like dentists, doctor's office,
they're
therapists.
Not there anymore.
They're not?
No.
No?
I got beef with just most waiting rooms in general. If I have an appointment, I should be walking in, you know, like if I'm early, I'm early. But like right when it says 11:45, there's a whole point of an appointment. We should be rolling. Let's go.
No, I actually agree on that. There's like sometimes they have a little light switch too, like to like let you know that they're there for the person. It's like, oh, I put it on a couple minutes later. Hey, if I'm paying for this, I'm not paying any extra. Or you stay later at that point,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
888-957-9570. That is the number to call or text and join in the conversation. You can call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Also, we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. And shout out to all of you joining the conversation there. And it's brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And by the way, I was out for a week, and all of a sudden, the Niners depth chart, I just have the update right here. There's a lot of Qs. A lot of Qs meaning questionable for all these players. Juwan Jennings, questionable. Calf injury. Jacob Cowing, obviously, prior to me leaving, he got hurt. Isaac Garrido got hurt. Jordan James, Curtis Rourke. I keep going. Mykel Williams, Kevin Givens. Like, I don't feel great about that, Joe. I don't. Now,
they're thin.
They're thin right now.
They're razor thin.
Terry McLaurin, he has been one of, I think, more underrated wide receivers because they've just been a mess at quarterback over in Washington. But Terry McLaurin is a guy that can be a number one on any given team outside of maybe a handful.
Yeah, he had 13 touchdowns last year.
Awesome. Him and Jayden Daniels, that connection was incredible last year. Scary Terry was for real. This is the latest that just dropped from Matt Barros, who knows his stuff. Would you say Matt Barros covers the Niners for a long time for The Athletic now? This is what the latest was in The Athletic. It was Terry McLaurin trade proposals analyzing 5 potential offers for the Commanders. And they had a couple teams. They had the Patriots, they had the Chargers, the Steelers, Bills, and then the 49ers were on there. And this is the little excerpt that Matt Barros had. So take a listen to this. It's not so far-fetched considering this scenario, meaning that maybe the 49ers would be inclined to trade wide receiver Brandon Ayuk for McLaurin, saying it's not so far-fetched considering the scenario was discussed a year ago when Ayuk was the subject of a high-profile hold-in. Ayuk had the Commanders at the top of possible trade destinations because of his relationship with and admiration for Jayden Daniels. He's friends with the quarterback, he's close to Deebo Samuel, and he was drafted by GM Adam Peters, who was the 49ers' top college scout at the time. Brandon Ayuk for McLaurin, not so far-fetched, says Matt Barros. Joe Shasky, what say you?
Well, say me what? Do I want him?
Would you do that? Because you're going to have to pay McLaurin if you trade for him. He wants to get paid. He's disgruntled. He's requested a trade from the franchise. He's older. He's in his 30s now.
This will be his third contract.
Yes.
And I'm just... When you give out the third contract in the NFL, you better love the dude.
He's going to be 30. Let me be clear. September 15th, he's going to turn 30 years old. So he's going to start hitting that point now with wide receivers, kind of like with running backs.
Just any football player. Yeah. Like, look.
Quarterbacks are,
Well, any football player, third contract.
Yeah.
It's scary, and you got to make sure it's the right guy. Now, my normal setting for the most part is like, hey, you know, I don't love paying these wide receivers just in this offense. I just don't. And I look at what is college giving you the most of? A lot of wide receivers. Can you whiff on one in the first? Yeah, but you could find tremendous value second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And we see it every single year. I'd take Terry McLaurin, yeah. But I hesitate on paying him, obviously, which is would be a sticking point in this one. And then, like, we're just going to get rid of Ayuk. They want Ayuk. What draft pick are we giving up? As we address how thin this team is right now, yeah, they need help at wide receiver. But this is the team that needs every draft pick that they can have moving forward. I mean, we all think that every single draft pick from last year that looked good. We'll see if Dominic Pooney's as good this year as he was last year. We'll see if Ricky Pearsall is good at all. Like, all these guys, Malik Mustafa. We'll see if he comes back healthy, right? So I need all the draft picks that I can get. I also need good players to be pass catchers for Brock Purdy. So that's where I kind of fall in the middle here. I don't love it, though. I'm not in as love as everyone else is on paying like a third contract. The last time they gave out a third or fourth contract to someone random, it was like Javon Hargrave. That didn't work out well.
It did not. But Terry McLaurin, man. Like,
no, he's a good player.
I think you go all in and go after this guy. I really do.
Yeah, but
you're
not building your offense around him.
I'm not building my offense around him, but I'm getting a guy that I know in the red zone where you struggled mightily, he could be a threat. Because he was that last year with Jaden Daniels. I know he could be that dude. And I trust that Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, they'll figure out a way. Clint Kubiak, they'll figure out a way for it to work with Terry McLaurin.
Joe.
I'll just say this. But Brandon Ayuk, like, I think he just needs to change scenery too. And I don't know what you're going to get from him. I do know what I'm going to get from Terry McLaurin. Now, obviously, Washington would be taking all the risk on with this because you don't know what you're getting with Brandon Ayuk. You would have to attach a pick. And as you mentioned, you're very hesitant to do that. But I'll argue, I swear to God, these guys get compensatory picks all the time, whether it's a third rounder, whether I don't like.
Yeah, but if I sign Keenan Allen, hypothetically, like, right, I'm giving up assets and spending a lot of money on this player. If I go get Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen, it costs me nothing but money.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the quality of a Terry McLaurin.
Who knows?
I mean,
who knows?
Keenan Allen stunk last year. He did. Adam in fantasy a couple times. He looked out of shape. He did not
played
look good.
He played for one of the worst teams in football.
I mean.
Well, did he not?
Yeah, but like they had offensive talent around him, and he just still didn't separate himself. He was supposed to be
the guy
you could rely on. I know they were. They weren't
terrible.
A good team.
We watched the Bears. They were terrible.
They were also loaded at wide receiver.
They were. They were. Roma Dunze.
But they were terrible. So, like, whatever. Like, I just, again, like, I like Terry McLaurin. He's great. He's a great player. He is. He's a great player. But it does cost you a lot. And like, it's easy to say, oh, just get him. Just take him. I love him. It's like, all right. Like, I'm intrigued. I'm open to it. I'm not ready to say goodbye to Ayuk just yet. Apparently, he's been a good soldier at camp all offseason. Is he healthy? If he's healthy, like, I think a healthy Ayuk is as good, if not better, than McLaurin. I can't guarantee health currently. I know Ayuk pops in this offense. I do. I know that he does when he's right. I mean, I don't know. Like, I hesitate always bringing in somebody from outside, paying them. Part of why McLaurin is frustrated is because Washington went out and traded for Deebo Samuel, who's making about the same as him right now. And he's looking around saying, wait a minute, I've been here before the prior regime when everything was stinky and poopy and I was excellent year after year after year with no one throwing to me, and you're going to bring this guy in and you're not going to pay me? Like, I get why he's frustrated in that situation.
I feel him on that. Are you more with Shasky here, Niner fans, 888-957-9570. You'd rather go the bargain hunting when it comes to the likes of an Amari Cooper, a Keenan Allen, than going all in for a guy like Terry McLaurin, which is going to cost you potentially Brandon Ayuk in a third-round pick. Which one of those scenarios
would you prefer? Well, it could be more.
It could be more.
I mean, I don't know.
We don't know. But if you're attaching Brandon Ayuk there, who was a second-team All-Pro in his own right, just like McLaurin was back in 2024, same year as Ayuk was, like, check that. But you know what I mean.
But like, okay, in a trade where you're dealing Ayuk, there's a big dead cap hit.
Yeah.
That's number one. And then you're taking on a ton of salary.
Yeah.
So like,
23.
You're kind of like tripling down on asset allocation. Yes. Money on Ayuk, money on McLaurin, draft capital.
Yes.
Signing someone, and again, just a flyer. Let's just say it's Amari Cooper. I'm just going to go Amari Cooper. All right, like maybe he's not as good as Terry McLaurin, but boy, it costs you a hell of a lot less.
I don't know what you're getting with Amari Cooper these days. Like he was awful.
I don't either.
He was awful with Buffalo last year.
I don't either.
I thought he was going to be a good piece for them. He didn't do anything. Nothing.
Yeah,
nada.
Okay. Yes, but there's been other great receivers who have bounced around and switched teams and have done very little winning.
Well, it's just crazy that you were willing to potentially, and remember, Amari wanted to leave last year from Cleveland. Like that was the conversation. Remember that? Get me out of here. Basically, he didn't really say that, but he was kind of saying without saying it. And maybe, oh, you trade him, but Brandon Ayuk didn't want to go to Cleveland. And it was turned out, right, you don't want to go to Cleveland. It's a dumpster fire. Got like four or five quarterbacks over there. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But I would definitely consider moving off of Brandon Ayuk for Terry McLaurin and potentially, you know, a third-round pick if you have to attach it. Second,
so you're taking on, okay, in this scenario,
and I'm giving him a new contract, yes.
You're taking on a big dead cap hit for Ayuk and paying Terry McLaurin and giving up draft capital. Like, again, it sounds great. And I know everyone wants to exhaust every single avenue to get great players. They did that for a bunch of years. And then you got Devondre Campbell playing linebacker because you can't afford anything and you have no draft picks. So, like, at some point, you got to kind of be a little fiscally responsible. And I don't know if right now is the time to be all in on giving up Ayuk, getting McLaurin, giving up draft capital. It's a lot. We have to acknowledge it is a lot to part with.
It'd be second team all pro for second team all pro at one point. They're guys that are just right at that cusp of like best at their position, but they're not quite there. So I feel you on that. Like they're right on that tier below the, for me anyways, like the Justin Jeffersons, right? The Jamar Chases of the world. They're not those players, but I feel them when they want to be like, hey, listen, I'm not those guys, but I'm also the best on this franchise. I am one of the best in this conference. Just because I'm not Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, doesn't mean I shouldn't get paid close to those.
They're really
guys.
Good players. They're really good players. And I don't know why Washington is balking at paying them. The other aspect of this that we don't know is like how far along is Ayuk? Is Ayuk able to help you week 7, 8, 9, 10? Is Juwan Jennings legitimately injured? Is he legitimately injured or is he just out for the time being where it's just a nagging thing that's told him about? Or is he holding out simultaneously and they just happen to coincide? Like there's a lot that we don't know.
I know I'm different than we differ on this when it comes to the wide receiver room. And I'm a lot more concerned about it than you are. You're concerned with other position groups before that. Not to say it's not a concern, but it's not your top one right now. It's hard for me in this offensive driven league. In a passing league, as Jonathan San Francisco called earlier, was talking about, when you're going to be going in to week one potentially, and Ricky Pearsall is a number one for you, I get it. He was a first-round pick last year. The guy struggles to stay on the field. I don't know if I could trust him to be my number one throughout this season. Juwan Jennings, a calf injury? God, another one? Scares the hell out of me. As we know with calf injuries, those are very tricky, Joe. One wrong move could be an Achilles. Like, and I don't want that to happen, but we've seen that ad nauseum here the last couple seasons in the Bay, whether it's basketball related, whether it's football related. Calf injuries are scary, and it's something you're going to have to monitor maybe all season long. Leroy's in Oakland wants to join the conversation when it comes to Brock Purdy.
What's up, Leroy?
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Always a pleasure to be on. Real quick, with the 49ers and the receivers, right? I really don't care who they bring in because you guys know I don't think Shanahan's going to throw them the ball enough anyway. Mm-hmm. So Terry, mm-hmm. IU, whoever, just bring some people in. And it's kind of getting to what I want to mention. Like, I hear all these individual stories. Like, all year I've been hearing individual stories about the 49ers. And I haven't heard any team stories, right? The cohesiveness on this team, right? There's none. Like, I don't see any cohesiveness. And I'm hoping that Brock Purdy's leadership continues because he's young. And I hope he can become that leader that brings some cohesiveness. You know, guys that you just get behind. Hey, you might be having a bad day, but you see this guy and you go, hey, you know what, today's going to be all right. We're going to go out here and kick these guys' butt, right? To bring guys together where they might be thinking about contracts, they might be thinking about other players, why are they bringing this player in, why are they bring that player in. I'm hoping Purdy can be like, hey, whatever, come on, guys, let's pull together and bring this thing home. And I hope they look at him as a leader, and so he can bring these guys together, because guys are kind of everywhere, guys. Guys are everywhere, and it's not going to bode well for the 49ers if they don't start coming together and going, hey, who's going to be here? Who are the guys that are going to be in the trenches with us, are going to go to war with us and fight every day? And I just don't think a lot of players, they don't know who these guys are. And real quick, I just want to make a prediction really quick.
Like, give it to me.
I think it's going to be a rough start for the 49ers. You know, I'm looking at them going 2-4 in the first six games, right? Those games against New Orleans, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Rams, right? And then October 19th is going to come. We'll be 2-4, Thursday night football game. They'll be talking about how bad Purdy's playing, how bad the coach is, and this is a make-or-break game for the 49ers.
Really?
So I hope we can salvage I hope we can salvage that.
Leroy, it's funny that you say that, because they have so much new.
2-4.
Well, just let me lay this out. They're really thin. Like, they just are. They're really, 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 really thin. Okay? And there are some important players right now that are dealing with some injuries. Like, right now you have two guys, Grant and Pinnock, who are going to start at safety. They haven't played simultaneously on this team. Now, they've played at times. One of them played for Robert Saleh, so he's got some familiarity in the scheme. You're going to start a new linebacker opposite Fred Warner, whether that's D. Winters or whether that's the kid Nick Martin that they drafted.
They love D. Winters. By all accounts, it's his job to lose. I've been just reading from the linebacking coach, from the
from everyone. I mean, I heard a lot of great stuff about D. Winters last offseason, right? And they played Devondre Campbell way more than any of us thought, right? So we'll see. And he's got to stay healthy, because he battled a lot of injuries last year. Your up front is all new. You know, D tackles, both spots. It sounds like C.J. West and Collins, and man, maybe you'll have Jordan Elliott, who was kind of a holdover from last year. And then you're going to have Mykal Williams, and you're going to have Bryce Huff. That's a lot of new. The secondary, besides those two safety spots, like, they're thin. Renardo Green is out right now. He showed some last year. I think we're a little high on him. I think it's to be determined. I love Lenore, but he's battling an injury right now. Who's that other guy? Upton Stout? Let's see it. He's 5'8". I hate to do the size thing, but 5'8 is 5'8".
Size matters. No, well, I was just talking about that. When it comes to mismatches and exploitation, like, this is, you're playing with the best in the world. They're going to know and try to put their tight end on those guys.
They are hyping them up, though.
Okay.
So I guess where I'm going at is, when you play a lot of young guys early in the year, you have to allow for learning curves. And I think when I look at all the young players, I love that they want to play them. I think they're going to be a better team in December than they are in September and October. I think that's pretty obvious. They're going to be on defense, a work in progress. And his point about starting off slow, they might start off 3-3 or 2-4. But I do think they can right the ship and be better toward the end of the year. And that's kind of like, as we talk about all these sports, you gotta, if you're gonna play the young players, you have to stay committed through the hard times so that you could see it on the other end in November and December pay dividends.
I think the 49ers are probably gonna be favored in their first four matchups. And listen, are they gonna go 4-0? Maybe not, but I would be shocked if they are 2-4. Something went absolutely
wrong. Hey, Seattle beat them last year.
They did.
I'm not going to sleep on them. Darnold, in particular, beat them last year.
That was Geno, though, last
year. Cardinals at home, too.
Yeah, and the Cardinals own us.
We'll see.
The Niners went 1-5 in the division last year. They have zero excuses to thumb their nose down at anyone.
I'm not thumbing my nose down at anyone.
1-5 in the NFC West.
I just told you they're probably going to be favored in all four of those matchups.
They might be. Being favored means a zero to me.
I hear you, but I think the 49ers are going to be a lot better early on the season than Leroy does, clearly. Seahawks, Saints, Cardinals, Jags. Look, not exactly world beaters. And again, we'll find out early about this
squad,
too.
You could laugh at Darnold all you want.
I'm not laughing at him. I'm just saying, need to see him fan. Do it again. Do it again. That's
Everyone's
it.
Saying that.
Exactly.
He threw 35 touchdowns last year.
Great. Kevin O'Connell.
Oh yeah? Was it? Well, time out.
O'Connell.
Week two. Oh, it was Kevin O'Connell?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Today, here's your exercise. You talk about summer reading. Mm-hmm. I want you to go back and watch the Viking game week two. Niners Vikings.
Summer watching.
Sam Darnold's movement in the pocket was exceptional. He was awesome. You could say all the Kevin O'Connell stuff that you want, and there were specific third down rub routes. He ran some beautiful plays. Darnold moved in the pocket as well as I've ever seen him move at any point in his career. I'm not saying that Darnold is great. I'm saying I think we're a little harsh on the year that he just had. He had a really good year. Now, I want to see him do it again as well. But we act like he's just some garbage player. He's not. He had a really good game against the Niners last year and shoved it on the Niners.
What happened when it was like actually like important, like the most important games of the season?
Yeah, he fell flat on his face.
He stunk.
Yeah.
Awful. That was the
Darnold. But that doesn't take away from his whole season.
No, he got paid for it. And I'm happy he got paid. Congratulations. But I think there's chances here that it was a one-year wonder for Darnold. And I think coaching mattered a lot there.
We said that about Geno, did we not? And then what did Geno do last year? Kicked the Niners' butt in the fourth quarter and led them down. All I'm saying is, guys, the other team drives big cars, lives in big homes, and get paid just as much as we do, all right? So, Niner fans, we were 6-11. Watch the games back. We have zero reason to be sticking our chests out like we were the big bad bullies last year. We were not. That we were exactly what our record was, and we have a bunch of new players for a reason, because the team and the personnel wasn't good. So I don't care who's favored in Vegas. I don't really. They need to come out and they need to earn their position as one of the best teams in the league before I grant them or anoint them at all.
And Seattle, their offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, brother, cousin, twice removed, whoever. Probably brother of Clay Kubiak, 49ers offensive coordinator as well. So they're sticking with that Shanahan, O'Connell, McVay coaching tree out there to try to, you know, cater to one Sam Darnold. And I'm going to be fascinated in that week one matchup. There's going to be a lot of Niner fans that probably do if Sam Darnold balls out. And maybe if Brock struggles, say, oh, no, maybe we should have paid Sam Darnold. Maybe we should have done that.
I don't even like Darnold. I just want to make I don't even like Darnold. But my point is,
sure,
like,
it sounds like you do.
Well, because when you watch the games, when you watch these, like I think we're too. Yes, the last couple games of the year were awful. He was awesome last year.
He did look, you know, he was.
He was great against the Niners.
The Sam Darnold story was one of the feel-good stories of the year.
Yeah, and I'm the first to admit I laughed at him for 5 years. Laughed at him.
Oh, but that whole show leading up to that Vikings game, we were laughing at him.
Joe, for good reason.
The play that he threw to Justin Jefferson, everyone's like, well, he was Justin Jefferson's wide open. He climbed in the pocket in the end zone. It was one of the best plays of his career.
He was
awesome in that game.
35 touchdowns, 12 picks, 4,300 yards.
He ran for a first down. It was an unbelievable play where Bosa was on his back and he climbed up in the pocket and ran for first down. Yes, he finished the season on a very low note. He had a great year.
So he took a leap last year. I think I would take a Brock Purdy leap this year more so than any other thing on this 49ers team. If Brock Purdy takes another leap into an echelon of a fringe top five, maybe a top five guy, I think that would be the biggest win of the season. Like, there's a scenario where Brock looks unbelievable, and maybe the 49ers still are hovering around 500. Like, if he has a Joe Burrow type of season that Joe Burrow had last year, I would absolutely take that this year for Brock Purdy.
Joe Burrow threw 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
So that was tough. Yeah. But, like, that was something you could hang your hat on. It's like, God, our quarterback looked incredible. Now, Cincinnati might be viewing that as like a wasted year, kind of.
Yeah.
But I think if for the 49ers, I would look at it in contract year number one for Brock Purdy. Man, I would take that. This is an interesting question that was posed. I'm going to leave before we hit the break to the audience. What's more important to the 49ers offense this year? Is it Christian McCaffrey staying healthy? Or is it Brock Purdy taking a leap forward in the passing game? 888-957-9570. That's the number. Is it CMC staying healthy or Brock taking a leap? What's more important for the 49ers offense this upcoming season? 888-957-9570. You can call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. We'll answer that question on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, and also Safeway.
Jonathan Kamingo.
Oh, no.
This is Big Pun from South City, and you know I'm tuned in to the Morning Roast with my guy, Joe Spadoni, and Butcher Boy Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
This is like when the Joker, you know, was walking away from the explosion. That's what I feel like is going to happen right now. We got a bomb to drop.
Oh my
Coming God. Up, Bryson!
Jonathan Kamingo.
boy, the latest on the Kuminga crisis saga, whatever you want to call it. Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, his latest piece that dropped just a little bit ago. Quote, the word I got when I checked in with a Warriors source on Sunday, Kuminga won't be traded this summer. He'll be back on the Warriors roster to start the season, and it'll either come when he signs the Warriors offer or accepts the $7.9 million one-year qualifying offer. So it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, he's here to stay, JK. Yay! It's kind of like the end of the crisis, right?
No. It's like the Cold War. It's going to go on for another 40 years.
Oh, my God.
What?
The Kuminga missile crisis?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
I mean, that sounds like it's, oh, my God.
This isn't the Bay. It's the Bay of Pigs.
Oh, no.
I mean, we can just keep going with this.
Look at us and our history knowledge. Look at that.
I mean.
Summer Rita.
Does that make me JFK? I'm going to have to get
relax.
Taken out because of the Bay of Pigs?
Is that okay to joke about? It's been, what, 70 years?
I mean, come on. Do we know? Everyone killed JFK. All of them.
Everyone?
All the agencies. All of them. All the three-letter agencies.
Okay, so Jonathan Kuminga not getting traded this summer, and he's going to be back as a Golden State. You know what? I knew this was going to happen when we talked to Anthony Slater a couple months ago, literally when the Warriors season ended. And we were like, is there a good possibility that he's back? Is there any possibility? He's like, yeah, actually, there's a strong possibility he's back. And then you and Vontae like scoffed at it. There's like, I just don't see it. And Anthony was telling us, like, actually, I could see it happening. And here we are. It's probably going to be the case that Jonathan Kuminga is a Golden State Warrior game one, week one, when the Warrior season kicks off.
Before we open up the lines, number one, you hear that and you think what, Warrior fans? Number two, is this the Warriors posturing for more leverage in a trade package? Saying, hey, we don't need your, Saric, Malik Monk, whatever the deal was prior.
Keon Ellis, yeah, I don't. What do the Warriors want in all this? Like, what is the end game for the Golden State Warriors in this? That's really what I want. Like, if I'm Mike Dunleavy today, and this obviously is dropped, and Tim Kawakami, he's one of the best in the biz. He knows. I believe him when he says he has a source telling him that Kuminga won't be traded this summer. I believe Tim Kawakami and his source. What is the end game for Mike Dunleavy, Joe?
In this individual move or just running the team?
What was the point of this summer? What was the point of all this?
Well, I think the point of this summer was to try to improve the team, and I think one of them was retaining what you already have. Like, we could talk about external additions. Like, the external additions. Okay, so let's play this out. Malik Monk, if this, however you guys want to break this down, forget the draft pick. Does Malik Monk bring more to the table to help this team win than Jonathan Kuminga? I think we can have a healthy debate about that.
I would say right now, yes, he would, if he's going to get more playing time. I just think him as an individual scorer is better than whatever JK is going to give you right now. This version of Jonathan Kuminga, yes. But that's a conversation we're not getting.
What about defense?
Defense is a big part of that, but
What position does Malik Monk play?
He's a point guard, shooting guard. Yeah.
We don't have enough 6'3 and under guards on this team.
Well, I'd feel better about him over Pajemski and come playoff minutes.
Yeah, but you know Paz can play. Like, I know, but you know Paz can play.
Yeah,
like,
but would he play over the trust level, talking about circle of trust? I do think that Malik Monk would be more inclined to be in that circle of trust with Steve Kerr.
Who are we kidding? Paz will play alongside Malik Monk. Pods will never have his playing time diminished. You know this. Look, I'm not making a joke. You know the coach is going to play him. So I don't know why we do this. Well, he's the backup player. No, he's not.
I did catch some of you and E-Dog getting into a little bit with Brandon Pajemski last week. That was good.
And I'm not mad. I'm just like let's stop. Like, it's just like saying, like, Shanahan's going to turn into a 40-time-a-game drop-back passing coordinator. Like, no, he's not. He's always going to run the ball. Like, he'll do the play-action thing and Kerr's always going to play Pods. He'll play him alongside Malik Monk. But how does Malik Monk help solve some of their biggest issues currently? Now, is scoring an issue? It is. It is an issue, whether Kuminga's on the team or not. So he will help you in scoring. Does he help you in guarding the perimeter? Not really. Not that Kuminga's the greatest at it, but I think Kuminga's better than him on the perimeter. We could argue. Some might say Kuminga's so overrated at that. Joe, you're wrong. I think he brings more to the table as a defender than most. Fine. Does he help put pressure on the rim in athleticism, cutting baseline, playing opposite Curry without the ball in his hand? I don't think he does. Does he help them defensively at the rim, stopping anyone? I don't think he does. Not that Kuminga's great at those things, but like, how does Malik Monk infinitely make you a better team than Kuminga?
I didn't say infinitely. I said net. He's probably a slight net positive. Slight. Maybe not.
I think it's so, like, you take Kuminga, I'll take Monk. You take Monk, I'll take Kuminga. I think we're splitting hairs.
Sure.
That's what I think.
That's fine.
So in that scenario, give me the guy who's 6'7".
Okay.
Give me the athlete guy who's 22. That's where I go. I'm tired of seeing this team play a bunch of 6'3 guys on the floor. Because you know who else might come back is GP2. So now I'm envisioning the Malik Monk, GP2, Pods, Curry lineup where we have nobody big.
By the way, a lot's been made about, you know, Al Horford, De'Anthony Melton, when those guys are going to sign. From, by all accounts, whether it's the Mark Steins who joined Willard and Dibbs, obviously NBA insider, saying Golden State is expected to finalize agreements with both Horford and Melton once cap space becomes available. I think they're just waiting for the Jonathan Kuminga, you know, stuff to finally be settled. And when's that actually going to be settled? Again, if you're just joining us, we're reacting to the latest from Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard in his latest piece titled The Warriors Kuminga Impasse Reaches a New Stage Plus My Compromise Proposal. This is Tim Kawakami again, SF Standard. This is the excerpt. The word I got when I checked in with the Warriors source on Sunday, Kuminga won't be traded this summer. He'll be back on the Warriors roster to start the season, and it'll come when he signs the Warriors offer or accepts the $7.9 million one-year qualifying offer.
I just can't stop. It's never going
to
end.
Just to clarify, guys, Mark Spears actually clarified on ESPN that GP2 told him the Warriors are waiting on Kuminga for everything else. They are completely waiting on him for everything.
And Melton.
That was made clear. I will get the cut here for you, too.
It's all on Jonathan Kuminga.
Second thing to know is, yes, a player who accepts a qualifying offer can be traded.
So he can, but not till after December 15th, correct?
It's something like during the track, after like...
No, but like there's like these specific points in the year. I could be wrong, but I think there's like December 15th. Anyone who signs, I believe, is like a December 15th.
Again.
The CBA.
That's what I was going to say. The fact that we even have to like get people to like check on this stuff is stupid. Like, we should just be able to trade whoever and whenever we want.
So here's the bigger question. Forget on the floor as players. What's better for the Warriors? Everybody kumbaya, or one guy being a little frustrated, or everybody looking at that one guy saying, hey, you held up the entire offseason? Because that, I thought that was interesting. So December 15th is the date. All right, we were right.
Correct.
Yeah.
So these guys are professionals, right? Like, they can... If I'm Draymond and I'm Steph and I'm Jimmy, they've been through so much already throughout their careers. That stuff's not going to bother them. Like, is it really going to bother? Like, once they start playing ball, Joe, I do think they're able to separate, like, okay, JK had his stuff. That's his problem. That's his prerogative. Whatever him and his team had to deal with, that's their stuff. But it's the start of the season. Let's play some basketball. I do think they're all going to be professional enough in that regard. Now, if it bleeds into the season, and there's like stuff being leaked, there's disgruntlement within practices, then we could, you know, have a problem here and discuss it. But right now, how could Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, like, you think those guys are going to let that bleed into the season? I doubt it. They're not.
No, but I just think it naturally, these discussions happen with the media and the players.
That's
where it's like, oh, what, Steve? Why was Jonathan the third guy you took off the bench in this game? Why didn't he close? Why hasn't he started? Did you see that he didn't handshake Steph on his way out of the... Like, there's all these stupid things that we do. There's just these unnecessary questions that I feel like this whole exercise we go through.
You know when it's going to start, too? It's going to start in preseason. What are the lineups going to... What's the starting lineup in preseason when LeBron and Luka come to Chase Center? What's it going to look like?
LeBron was not there for the Luka signing. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Is that true? Trouble in Paradise? Oh, no. I think he FaceTimed him. Is that acceptable these days? I guess LeBron's not a Backstreet Boys fan. He didn't want to go to the concert with Rob.
LeBron's golfing. Yeah, in the fog. Horrible swing. I mean, LeBron looks like he's never played any baseball or any golf at any point in his life. Horrible.
How difficult is it as a 6'8 human, Carter, to like swing a club? Like, is it like...
Not difficult at all. You get your club sized for you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fine. Well, do you have a good swing?
Come on. I'm practically a scratch golfer. But
when you're as rich as he is,
oh my God,
you grow up on the golf course.
I'm just kidding. I shot like a 130 yesterday.
That's okay. You know what? Did you have a good time, though?
Nope.
Okay, never mind then. Brian in Palo Alto has had a great time talking about Jonathan Kuminga.
This saga won't go away.
It won't go away. Again, Brian, the latest from Tim Kawakami, your boy from the SF Standard. The word that he got with his source on Sunday, Kuminga won't be traded this summer. What say you, Brian?
I think that's, you know, that's the company line, which if Kawakami is saying it, that's right from the horse's mouth and Joe Lacob. And the company line is they're saying, you know, he's going to be on the team. They're not even entertaining sign and trade anymore. Just to shut up the incompetent agent of Kuminga, right? And their whole act, I think that's the play. I do think he ultimately probably will get traded. Hopefully the Kings remove that protection on their first rounder, because comparing Monk and Kuminga is like, you know, a 20-point game scorer who's, you know, a very good three-point shooter, who's a good playmaker, versus Kuminga, who's, you know, going to be the 14th man on this team likely now. If he's back, I imagine they'll just bury him on the bench out of spite almost. But, yeah, can't think of an athlete in Bay Area history who was less worth the drama than Jonathan Kuminga ever. Just unfortunate, but it is what it is.
That's Brian and Palo Alto. That's actually a great question. Like, the juice has not been worth the squeeze when it comes to the actual, like, on-the-court production of Jonathan Kuminga. The amount that we talk about the current player and what he could mean to the franchise and what he's actually meant, it's pretty insane. I literally, somebody said this, like, I can't remember a player, like, that we discussed, like, that hasn't done anything on the court.
Trey Lance.
Like, that's fine.
James Wiseman.
Yeah, but God, you traded so much more for Trey Lance than, like, you invest. Like, I get it. He was a lottery pick, but you didn't trade, like, all the stuff for Jonathan Kuminga.
Kuminga's actually been a productive player.
At times.
Yeah, he's played a lot. Like, yeah. Trey Lance played four games.
People like to tell me that Trey Lance, those games that he started and won, I mean, against the Houston Texans.
It was a big game.
I mean, oh, my God. He looked incredible. I mean,
it was a big game. They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
You had to beat Davis Mills in that vaunted Houston Texans team. That was one of the worst teams of my lifetime. I couldn't even name. Was Rex Burkhead their starting running back? No. Oh, my God.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it was huge. Sorry, continue. But you were saying about Jonathan Kuminga, the juice worth the squeeze in the topic.
No, you were going in on Trey Lance. Keep going. I want to hear this.
That was it.
I want to hear that. You're done?
Well, everyone wants Trey Lance now. He's the greatest thing ever. Like,
Can't you just be happy for the kid?
In a Hall of Fame game? Can we wait?
We found out in a Hall of Fame game that Tom Brady was good. We found out that Gio Camazzi was not. Yeah, so yeah, you can find out in practice who's good and who's not.
I've also seen people.
No one is saying he's great. We're like, hey, good for him.
Nate Peterman looked good in a Hall of Fame game once. How'd that work out? 4 picks, game one, first half. Miley, Walnut Creek. The Malik Monk thing's interesting, by the way, because I actually agree with Brian there. I do think we are shortchanging Malik Monk a little bit here when we're talking about it. He's a really good scorer.
Okay.
He's a really
good
scorer.
So you're going to play, he's a good scorer. So you're going to play Buddy Hield, Pods, Malik Monk, GP2, and Steph?
Well, I'm giving a lot of those minutes that I'm giving Pajemski to Malik Monk instead in a heartbeat. It's not even close.
Do you trust more
of a scorer?
You might say that. The coach's actions have told you that Pods is playing 30 minutes plus.
See his new haircut, by the way? Got the braids. Am I allowed to say cornrows? I don't know. That's basically what it was now. Is that the look we're doing in Pods?
I think if you're gonna trade Jonathan Kuminga, like, yes, Malik Monk is he is a good player. He's a useful player. He brings a lot to the table. They need something other than that. They need different positions.
It is interesting, though, that this is a player who can run an offense, and absolutely, they still are not interested in him. That does interest me.
Well, because does he run this offense?
I don't know what interests the Golden State Warriors right now. What do they want? They want Al Horford and D'Anthony Melton. Yikes. Miley in Walnut Creek, good morning.
I mean, Melton's another guy who's under 6'4". Huh?
Hey, Shasky.
What's up?
I'd like a second just to kind of go through why I think Malik Monk would help us.
Okay, listen.
I want to run through this real quick. So, puts pressure on the defense. So you think about Steph. Steph's on an island. There's no other scorer who puts the kind of pressure on the defense except for occasionally Jimmy. But Monk comes in. He changes energy. I'm having him come off the bench. and he can play with the starters for a period of time, so you're not stuck with him with Pajemski and Moody and all those guys. But he will play with those guys, but you can also sprinkle Jimmy or Draymond in there as well. But Monk scores off the bounce, scores in the mid-range. Not a great three-point shooter, but enough to open up his drive lanes with that shot. He gets the shots off quick. He assisted 5 assists a game last year. We haven't had a scorer like him off the dribble since Poole, and we've been dying for that guy. So, Monk may not be the be-all, end-all, but he's better than Kuminga right now. And by all accounts, Kuminga's going to get his face punched in by either Draymond or Jimmy if he comes back.
Okay. Let's relax there. I don't know. What? Jimmy Butler, by the way, likes Jonathan Kuminga. Like, he said that they can thrive together on the court. And I am inclined to believe Steve Kerr, when he was on our airwaves, when the season was over, talking with William Dibbs, courtesy of River Islands, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, saying, yeah, if he is back on the team next year, I have to play him, Steph, Jimmy together for an extended period of time to figure out this thing. I didn't have that luxury because we were in a play-in / playoff chase. I had to go with what was working. And what was working was the Moody, Pajemski, Draymond, Jimmy, Steph lineups. And that's what they kept going to.
I think Monk in a vacuum is a better player than Kuminga right now.
Yes.
Okay. But again, they bring different things to the table. So you guys have watched the Warriors a long time. Do they want a ball dominant player like Malik Monk for their offense, no matter who he's playing alongside? Not really. Not really. And to say that he's like Jordan Poole, okay.
Well, I was going
to
say the Jordan Poole, like, comparisons there.
Yeah,
like,
and how'd that work out for them in year two?
There was a lot there.
Yeah, there's like, hey, yeah. Dog, pass the rock, right? Yeah. That's what yeah. people not saying there?
Yes, no, for sure.
Right? Yeah. And so, like, again, I just...
But I would also kind of like a little bit more of that, like, mentality. Not to say, like, the boneheadedness. And
Joe.
There needs to be someone that has confidence in their shot outside of Steph. Like, and Buddy's a streaky player. Who do you trust shooting the ball on this team right now, Joe? No, seriously. Like, who do you trust shooting the ball?
They don't have a lot, but okay.
No one.
A Monk in a vacuum makes sense. But just look at the roster. Let's just look at the roster.
I hear you.
So you have, this is your guards. Steph, Pods, Malik, I guess Melton, I guess.
I don't even know.
Okay, GP2, Melton. Okay, 5 guys. I haven't even referenced Moody, okay? Moody, who's still on the team. Buddy Hield, okay? Buddy Hield. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys, all under 6'4".
Size matters, Joe.
Who is a defender of those? GP2s, the lone defender. I guess Melton as well. No one is saying that we don't like Monk. Monk's nice. How does that help what they need to do? They need a perimeter dog defensively. Yes, do they need shooting? Every team needs more shooting. There's no doubt about it. They need more shooting. They need more well-rounded players on the perimeter. They need a rebounder. They need a guy who can block shots. They need a hound out on the perimeter. I like Malik Monk in general. I like the idea of it. But when I look at the rest of the roster and how they build it around him, I don't think you guys are playing both ends of the floor here.
We got Matt Lively joining us at the top of the hour in about 7 minutes. Matt Lively, courtesy of River Islands. And obviously, he covers all Bay Area sports. He's been down at 49ers training camp in Santa Clara. But we could touch on some of the Jonathan Kuminga stuff with him as well. Matt Lively, KPIX Channel 5. But the latest right now, as we're reacting, if you're just joining us, 888-957-9570. Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard saying, the word that he got when he checked in with a Warriors source on Sunday that Kuminga won't be traded this summer. And he goes on in this article, Joe, to say, several sources have indicated that the Warriors have been unenthusiastic about the general idea of a Kuminga sign and trade from the outset. The broad context is that Joe Lacob remains a fan of Kuminga's and is determined to either keep the 22-year-old on the roster or get real value in return, and he's willing to wait it out.
And I didn't even reference Pat Spencer.
Oh, the fighting Pat Spencer?
That was a joke. That one I was going
that was
a
for Jana
strong.
Mountain View. You like Pat Spencer. Come on. You love Pat.
Yeah, I like Pat. But you know what this team needs? They need centers, and they need legitimate threes.
Well,
and
they got Al Horford coming.
What?
They have Al Horford coming. What?
Can
you
we just
are quiet?
I don't need the I'm telling you, man, I get Malik Monk. If you bring Malik Monk in, you probably don't need to bring in Melton?
No, probably not. They're not getting Malik Monk, by the way. They're just, they've, this whole article from Tim Kawakami has really set that in stone for me. Kaminga's going to be a Golden State Warrior game one, week one.
Why don't
NBA
we send
season.
A pick and go get, like, if you're going to move Kaminga, send them a pick as well if they would be willing to do so and give us Keegan Murray.
Well, my question is, why do we care so much about a 2030 draft pick? Why? No, seriously. Why are we so concerned?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
5 years from now. 5 years from now, why do we care?
Because the Kings are still going to stink.
Well, okay. I hear you about the protected nature of it. If all of this stuff, like these teams, and if you're the Warrior, if you don't want to give up a first round pick or the Kings, everyone's so scared right now about the future. No one's worrying about the present. The present right now is wide open as far as I'm concerned.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, on one of these deals, you are surrendering one of the Moody Buddy Hield players. If you take on Malik Monk's contract, you have to say goodbye to one of these other guys.
And
so it's not just as simple as
it's
Kaminga for Monk. It's
not,
also Kaminga plus either Buddy or Moody for Malik Monk. It's just it's very complicated.
Dunleavy doesn't have a lot of pressure to trade Kaminga quickly and cheaply just to get a resolution. The internal pressure is actually the opposite. There's no pressure. They're chilling.
Just take your time.
Everyone wants it to be done so fast that it's just not happening. It's almost like they're doing it out of spite at this point. Nah, we'll sit back, relax. Why not? And in fairness, like, it is August 4th, so it's been a while that we've been talking about it because they got bounced, in early May? So we've been talking about this for months, Joe, all summer long, and we're about to be going back to school here, and it just is what it is. Jonathan Kuminga is here to stay.
This situation,
or at least now,
I don't think it's set in stone. I'm not saying that TK is not reporting is accurate. It's clearly accurate because he's always accurate with his reporting. It feels to me like this is the stance for now until they can get more out of someone else.
Jonathan Kuminga, he's just never going to go away. Thus concludes the Kuminga crisis. You can hit it just as many times as you want. Thank you. There you go. Kuminga crisis update.
Who's the best team in the league right now?
For what?
Basketball.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay. So you bring in Malik Monk, okay? How you beating OKC? Who's guarding who? Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that Kuminga is the answer to that, but in this hypothetical Kuminga transaction, I think one of the things that they need to desperately be thinking about in return is, how do we improve our perimeter point of attack defense?
In fairness, I feel like most teams in the West are probably saying, how do I guard? Like, outside of the Houston Rockets, I don't know if there's like a great team that's like,
yeah, but
equipped.
Most teams don't have Steph Curry, who is a big liability against either Jaylen or SGA.
He's the great equalizer, though, when it comes to his offensive prowess that we've never seen
before.
Yeah,
but it's because he is deficient defensively, you have to have someone play opposite him that is their strength.
And that's why Clay was so important for this team
for
years, right?
Of course.
And what are you going to get with Jimmy Butler, another year older? What are you going to get with Draymond Green, another year older?
One thing we learned about Jimmy in the final 2 months is he's not that guy anymore.
He's not playoff Jimmy anymore.
No, I mean, like, perimeter, go sick him on that guy, young 20s, be the hound. He's not that guy anymore.
No, he's not. And again, I mentioned the playoff Jimmy thing because he's also not that version that we saw in Miami anymore. That's okay, but also I think we were disappointed as fans, if I'm a Warriors fan, watching how it all took place and that he couldn't get that one win in that series. Not that it was going to be the end-all, be-all, but it's like, man, he couldn't get us one win, because there was one game where it was him and JK basically and no one else really stepped up, and he didn't score in the final 6-7 minutes of the fourth quarter. And it was tough. It was tough.
So which story are we going to repeat over and over again between now and October 19th? Giannis might come to the Warriors.
Oh, my God. Don't even mention
JK
that.
Might be coming back. JK is traded.
Giannis.
What is it? Which one?
It's not coming here. Giannis is not coming here. It's not. I'll just tell you right now, why the hell would anyone want to come to the Western Conference? Like, why would you choose to leave the East right now, which is wide open? Wide open. Parting of the Red Sea? Yeah, that's the Eastern Conference. I'm not touching the West when you got the likes of the Nuggets, the Thunder,
I mean,
the
only answer, is I want to play with Steph Curry. And that's an answer that can outweigh whatever your East-West thing is.
I mean,
I'm just giving you one of the only outlier answers.
I love Stephen Curry. I mean, how long are we going to keep saying that? He's 37.
I mean, he only won the freaking gold medal last summer.
That was last summer, Joe. You scoff at it like
it was the best player in the world in the biggest stage.
The days of I want to play with LeBron, I want to play with Steph might be over.
Although they might be.
That might be over.
But that doesn't mean that Giannis doesn't feel that way. You might feel that way. That doesn't mean he does.
Maybe. But maybe he's looking at like younger players that he wants to join up with. Like, yeah. Maybe he wants to stay in the East right now. I don't know.
Name me a situation in the East that you'd be like, yep, got to go there.
I'd like to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're right.
Said no one ever.
Well, you're saying that, but like, why not? They were the best team in the regular season last year.
Cleveland.
Oh, but that's your only argument.
Yeah, no, that's the argument.
He plays in Milwaukee.
That's why he wants to come here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Again, sure. any place that you throw, and I'm not saying he is either, but any place you throw out there, it's like, you want to go work for James Dolan? Nobody does, right? And as good as that roster looks on paper, and it does, it looks really good on paper, you're like, ugh. That owner? I don't know.
Yeah, but there is a cachet to playing in New York City. Even the owner with standing, which is a big deal. But
you
like,
and I agree.
Playing in New York, he would be an icon there. He was drafted there. Like he was all well documented when he came for the draft. Like he was enamored by New York City and playing for the Knicks and winning a title there. Yeah, that would be huge for him and his legacy. Absolutely. Matt Lively going to be joining us shortly. We're going to shift over to some 49ers. We'll talk and touch some Jonathan Kuminga with him. Love to get Matt's perspective there. Do we got him? Cool. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios and joining us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Matt Lively, KPIX, Channel 5, joining us on the Morning Roast. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Matt, good morning. We're going to touch some 49ers here in just a second with you, but the big talking point this morning was the latest from Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard reporting and talking about his source saying that it's more than likely that JK is going to be a Golden State Warrior come game one of the regular season. Your thoughts on this whole Jonathan Kuminga crisis, as we have dubbed it here on the Morning Roast, Matt?
I feel like maybe this is how a lot of Warriors fans feel. I'm so sick of hearing about it. This has been such an ongoing topic of Jonathan Kuminga, whether or not he's going to be on this team. I mean, dating back to the reports when he kind of came out against Steve Kerr a couple seasons ago, it feels like it's going to be messy. Who knows what it really looks like behind closed doors, but it feels like it's going to be messy. And as Shasky was saying, I mean, I certainly believe TK, he's so tapped into this, but it feels like you got to find a way to move him if you can, but I know it's more difficult than it sounds with the restrictions that they have. But, you know, if they give him the opportunity to shine and he can do what he did in the Minnesota series during the regular season on a regular basis, who knows? You know, maybe this ends up being a great thing for the Warriors.
As a man who's bounced around the country, I'm curious on your opinion on this. Settle this debate between me and him. You wouldn't choose Cleveland if you had options, just as a place to live. Come on.
Cleveland versus Milwaukee? Oh, God.
Actually, Milwaukee's beautiful. My niece is going to Marquette here coming up.
You know what? I'm going to Cleveland later this year when the Niners play there. I'll double back then. I can give you an official report. Right this second, I'm probably going to say no. But maybe I have a lovely weekend there. I start looking at real estate.
Well, Jonathan Kuminga was hanging out there, wasn't he? He was practicing there last month. Anthony Slater was telling us that. Matt Lively joining us here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of River Islands. And Matt, we got some big Niners stuff to get into, obviously, and we can circle back to Jonathan Kuminga at any point, but Niners are the talk of the town right now. We just had the Hall of Fame game. Trey Lance, obviously, he was wowing some people as the backup over with the Los Angeles, not San Diego Chargers. But this is really when things start to get heavy. Joint practices. Broncos are coming into town, right? Old pals, old friends. I don't even know if they're going to make the trip. We'll see. Dre Greenlaw, he's been dealing with some injuries. We'll see Dre Greenlaw, obviously, who's now a Denver Bronco, former Niner. Talanoa Hufanga, another guy, former All-Pro with the Niners, now a Denver Bronco. What are you going to be looking at this week, Matt, when it comes to joint practices and some of these position battles that we've been watching?
Yeah, I mean, the linebacker position and D. Winters, it seems like he has solidified his spot. I don't think a rookie like Nick Martin is going to jump him on the depth chart, but it'll certainly be interesting to see if he takes reps. You know, I wouldn't expect Fred Warner to play in that first preseason game, but you know, it'd be a good opportunity for D. Winters to really put on a show, and fans can go, okay, maybe Dre Greenlaw's not here, but this guy D. Winters is pretty good. And I really think what's going to be the most important position battle, the most important position group this season for the 49ers. Everybody's talking about the wide receiver room, but it's the other side of the ball. The secondary is going to be so big for this team. When you look at the moves they made this offseason, where they acquired most of their guys, the secondary is kind of the biggest question mark. You have D'Amador Lenore, great. You have Renardo Green, great. And then there's just a bunch of void. Can Jair Brown replicate his rookie season, or is it going to be more like his sophomore season? When is Malik Mustafa coming back? Is Upton Stout, who's got a lot of hype right now around him, really the guy back there? So I think all of preseason, I'm most interested in the secondary to see who emerges as a potential starter.
How's Brock look? I mean, I feel like he's flying under the radar. This guy signed a monster deal. Yeah, he had a bad year last year. Like, I just went back and watched all the games. I'm a sick person. And his legs were all right. He moved around pretty well. He threw up a lot of bad balls last year. I know the team around him was not good. But I think that if he was being objective, he would say that he had a down year based on what we expect from him. It feels like he's flying under the radar, doesn't it?
It does, and I think that's exactly what you want as a 49er fan, right? It would be nice if you can get through a training camp where the talk isn't, well, I don't really know about Brock Purdy, especially after you just gave him the massive extension that you did. He's looked great in camp so far. You know, I take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to the quarterback in camp. We really don't know what's being said to these guys. You know, the coach's direction on some of these routes and some of these plays might be, hey, throw it up. I want to see what's happening over on that side of the field. Give this guy a shot. And so maybe these aren't the decisions that they would make in a regular season game. But Brock has looked great. His arm strength is really what's impressed me. And so I think the fact that he is flying under the radar a little bit, you have to be happy about that. You want the attention to be on some other spots.
Talking with Matt Lively here on the Morning Roast. Matt, what's going on with the wide receiver room right now? I'm a little concerned. Obviously, this is a run-first offense. It's going to go through Christian McCaffrey. We get all that. But I start looking at the depth chart. There's a lot of cues, right, for questionable. Juwan Jennings, the calf. Jacob Cowing, the hamstring. Ricky Pearsall, obviously. It's a guy that has struggled to stay on the field, the gunshot withstanding last year. Just a guy that's struggled to stay healthy throughout his career, really, when it comes to the training camp and working too hard sometimes. Where are we at with the wide receiver room? And could we see the Niners go after, you know, I don't know, an Amari Cooper? Could they go after a Keenan Allen? Or hell, that guy out in Washington that's disgruntled, Terry McLaurin?
I certainly wouldn't hold my breath for Terry. It concerns me as well, but I think that's the position group that will be ready by week one. Juwan Jennings going through a calf injury, that should be resolved by that point. I would be more concerned about the contract issue with Juwan Jennings, but I still think something's going to get done on that front. Ricky Pearsall, at least he's back out there. It is a concern. You know, you want to keep him healthy, and how do you do that? It does seem like he overworks himself. He can pull things. Jacob Cowing, I think that was, you know, maybe the biggest disappointment for me right now. He had worked with Ricky Pearsall in the offseason. Kyle Shanahan said he really impressed during OTAs, and then that first training camp practice, he pulls up with a hamstring injury. They need him back. I think he is actually going to be more of a key part of this offense than we think this year. DeMarcus Robinson has looked great, but he might serve a 3-game suspension. And it looks like, you know, camp bodies are flying in left and right. They signed Chosen Anderson. They just released Marquez Callaway. I do think if you go through, you know, week one of this preseason and no one's standing out and there are some major injuries, go get Amari Cooper. I think that'd be a great signing. Another veteran in that wide receiver room as you wait for Brandon Ayuk to get back. So I think the wide receiver room will have a lot of these cues figured out by week one, but you need depth at that position. That's what, you know, they proved that last year. And so more is better when it comes to that position.
What's going on with the Valks, man? The Valkyries. You part of the broadcast team right now? Been watching you. So, like, what's going on with you? I mean, it feels like the community's really been wrapping their arms around him.
I mean, it's been an incredible team to cover this first year. And the fact that they're at 14 wins, they're currently sitting in eighth place. You know, they have a playoff spot. The season were to end today, it doesn't. But this was a team that was, you know, Vegas put them at 8.5 wins before the year began. And they crushed that immediately.
Careful there, Otani.
Hey man, I don't work. You know, I don't work for the team. They've been really fun to cover, and for an expansion team, you know, this team might look a lot different next year because of how the CBA is going to roll out, and there's more teams coming to league, so there's going to be more expansion drafts. But this has been kind of a ragtag group that they had to put together on the fly. And they've gone toe-to-toe with the best in the league. I mean, really, they've come down to the wire with just about every team in the WNBA, maybe outside of the Minnesota Lynx, who they're like 6 games better than anybody in the league right now and are just blowing teams away. But the Valkyries have been a ton of fun to watch. And the best part is that they've taken role players from other teams and allowed them to become stars in a market like San Francisco. And that's been really awesome to watch. And I mean, they've got a great stretch here to finish out the season and try to make the playoffs, which would be history in the WNBA, back at home on Wednesday. So that should be a great game.
Well, and it's a great point, Matt. And Natalie Nicasse, I mean, she's got to be the front runner for coach of the year at this point, right? It's not even close.
No, in my opinion, it can't be close. Again, put any other sport in the mix here. You know, what if we said, hey, the Tampa Bay Rays had to have an expansion draft, and they're sitting in second place in the AL East right now and going to make a playoff spot. Like, that's the equivalent of this. It's if the Cleveland Browns had to have an expansion draft. Like, it just doesn't happen overnight like this. You never, you know, maybe the Golden Knights in the NHL are kind of the only other team you can look at. But it's amazing what Natalie Nicasse has done. And they've had so many international players that left for the international tournament. And they had to sign new players, and they came right in and pulled off something like a 4 or 5 game winning streak with them. So her system works. And I think that's what's most important to know moving forward for this Valkyries team. The roster is not going to look like this next year, but Natalie Nicasse's system isn't going to change. And that is a huge bonus.
That is. This was a huge bonus to have you on this morning, Matt. We appreciate the time, man.
It's been great. I went to Dead & Co. last night, and I woke up and I was like, oh man, I'm vibing. I'm ready for some morning roast.
Dude, you were roasting yesterday. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
What's that?
You're roasting yesterday, brother?
No. I mean,
He was dropping, as in dropping acid.
Okay.
Dad, my dad was a big deadhead, so that's what they used to do. I don't know if you know this. And he's also born and raised, by the way, Jerry Garcia in the Excelsior.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah, Harrington Street, baby.
The more you know, Matt.
Let's go.
Boom. Thanks for having me on, guys.
See you, buddy. There he goes. That's Matt Lively, KPIX Channel 5. I was like, yeah, you know, I was, you know, morning roast yesterday. I was like, oh, were you roasting? He's like, oh, no, don't do that. The stigma's gone from that, right? Come on, man.
From weed?
Yeah. It's got to be gone.
Alcohol's way more destructive than weed.
I agree, man. That was some good stuff. Matt Lively, KPIX Channel 5, courtesy of River Islands, as all guests at 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. We're up against it. Going to take a quick break. Come on back. We got this or that. Coming up on the other side, this or that. Could be sports related, could not be sports related. That's always going to be fun. Plus, I actually kind of want to talk about what we were just talking about right there when it comes to coaching and Natalie Nicasse and what she is doing right now with the Valkyries. Like, there are not a lot of comps for just how difficult of a job she has been dealt, and her having 14 wins when they were only, you know, projected to get 8. Maybe she should be number 1 in coach rankings here in the Bay Area. That's what's coming up, brought to you by American Cancer Society.